Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos is Lamed Vav. We're in Lamed Hamed Beis, and we are finishing up. We are capping off a week's worth of discussion regarding the topic of Kimlei B'Derabim Mineh, although, to be honest, it's not going to be the last time we're going to be discussing Kimlei B'Derabim Mineh. It's coming up in the Mishnah at the end of today's year. So the truth of the matter is, as we're going to be tying a bow on this topic, what the truth of the matter is that it's going to come back again. Again, one of the central discussions here in this third parak, aside from the larger issue of being that of onus and mafata, but conceptually the discussion that revolves around the ability to give somebody multiple punishments for a single avera. With that stated, we are on Lamed Hamed Beis, and now we are really coming to a conclusion on a weeks long discussion, taking us all the way back to the beginning of this parak. So that was on Chavtes. So this is now a week. We've been from Chavtes to today's daf, really yesterday's daf, Lamed Hey. So what we have been focusing on has been how to resolve what seems to be a stira between two Mishnayos. We have a Mishnah in Ksivitz and a Mishnah in Makos in the third parak. They're both third parakim. It happens to be that in Makos, the third parak is the final parak. But regardless, here in the Ksivitz in the third parak, so we learn that when a man is manes a woman, so he has to pay her money. So the monies that he has to pay her are both tashlumim and kanas. The tashlumim are for all the chavala, for all the assault damages, and the kanas is going to be the 50 shkalim that he has to pay, as we now have been discussing for a week. So in other words, there are a lot of payments that need to be taken into consideration. Meanwhile, the Mishnah Makos says that when a man is ma'anes a woman who is one of the arayos, he's subject to malkos. Now it happens to be that our Mishnah also gives the example of arayos, meaning that our Mishnah is there to teach us that if a man is minus a woman, and despite the fact that he can't marry her, she's an erva, so he still has to pay. He has to pay both tashlumim and kanas. The Mishnah Makos says that when a man is ma'anes, or not even ma'anes, but just simply has relations with a woman who is an erva, so he's subject to malkus. Now, subject to malkus, meaning if there's warning, if there is edim and hasra, so then he's going to be subject to malkus. And then the larger question, which we have been now entertaining for over a week, is, well, which one is it? Meaning, it can't be both. Meaning, to suggest it's both, that's going to be multiple punishments. Mishum risha achas atamechayva v'yitamechayva shtei rishayos. You only can get one punishment, you can't get both punishments. So which Mishnah is correct? That's been our discussion now for a significant amount of time. So we have now entertained this discussion and saw this discussion through the lens of many Amoraim. So in order, and this is going to be a quick recap. In order, so we saw the sheet of Ula. Ula's of the position that if there are two punishments, one's Malkus and the other Mammon, so the default punishment is going to be Mammon. The Mishnah in Malkus needs an explanation. But in other words, but Ula's of the position that we're always going to default to Mammon. That sheet is Ula. Rav Yochanan says that we're always going to default to Malkus. What about our Mishnah? Okay, good. So you have to explain our Mishnah. But in other words, but the default is going to be Malkus. So Ula and Rav Yochanan are both of the opinion that you're only going to get one of the two, and then it's just a question of which one of the two, and the answer is going to be that it's going to be, well, it depends who you ask. If it's Ula, it'll be Mammon. If it's Rav Yochanan, it'll be Malkus. That is that is two Amoraim. And then we saw the position of Reish Lakish. And Reish Lakish says that Hamani, that who is the Mishnayos going like? The Mishnayos are going like Reb Meir. Reb Meir holds that there is no cap. In other words, that one can receive both Makos and Mammon. We saw that in the Mishnah in Makos. And it could very well be that our Mishnayos also are subscribing to the viewpoint of Reb Meir. Okay, that is the Shita of Reish Lakish. The Gemara already commented that's a little bit strange. We're having a Stam Mishnah. Stam Mishnah is going like a Shitas Yachid of Reb Meir, as opposed to the Chachamim. Why did Reish Lakish do that? The Gemara asked that question. The Gemara answered that question. But anyway, that's the Shita of Reish Lakish. And then, one other position to take into consideration, and that's the Shita of Rabbah. Rabbah's of the position that it could be that the Mishnahs are going like Rebbe Meir, but we're talking about where it's not Malkus and Mammon, but rather it's talking about Malkus and Kenas. Meaning that the only payment that our Mishnah is describing over here is that of Kenas, and Kenas is not going to be a stira. It's not going to be a contradiction to Malkus, meaning that that Malkus and Kenas can coexist. Why? So the explanation that was given is because since Kenas is a Chiddush, meaning Kenas in of itself is not compensatory. Compensatory is something that is intuitive, that if you damage and you have to compensate for the damage that you made, so that's intuitive in nature.
But over here, when the Torah imposes a kenas, that's a chiddush, and since it's a chiddush, so the chiddush of kenas can in fact coexist together with malchus. And so Rabbah's of the position that that is what our Mishnah is teaching us, that you can get malchus and you can get a kenas as well. Good. So these are the various positions that were given amongst the Amoraim in terms of how to coordinate and how to resolve all the Amoraim. Amalera papalabai. So now we're going to pick it up where we left off. So we are in Lamed Hamed Beis, and we are about half the way down, not even. So it's about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. So Rav Papa says to Abaye, L'Rabba D'Amar, Chidushu Shechisha Torah B'Knas V'Afagav D'Mikdam Hashalem, and that according to Rabba, so once we're just focusing on Knas, Knas is not going to be a stira. Knas can come in conjunction with Malkus. In fact, Knas can even come in conjunction with Ketala. It can even come in conjunction with the death penalty. So Masisin Kamamukimla. So the Gemara says, so now, the problem is, who's going to be the author of our Mishnah? So, Ika Rav Meir Kashibito. Well, it can't be like the Shita Rav Meir because the difficulty is going to be one's daughter. Now, the daughter is coming up in a Mishnah, which we're about to see. Meaning the Mishnah that is coming up on the Amud Beis of today's Daf is, in fact, going to tell us that that a person's man is his daughter, so he doesn't pay kenas. Now, the simple explanation is because when your man is your daughter, so that's a misa, it's a chi of misa, and kimle b'derabim minei. In other words, the misa is going to override the payment. Ah, but the problem now is that according to Rabbah, if the Mishnayos are in fact going like Rav Meir, and Rav Meir says that kenas can coexist with malchus, kenas can even coexist with misa, so then that obviously is problematic. Once kenas can coexist with misa, so then the Mishnah, we would expect the Mishnah to tell us that if a man's man is his daughter, there would in fact be a kenas. So that's called a problem. So Rabbah can't say that our Mishnahs are going like Rabbi Meir. And Ikar Rabbi Nechunya ben Akarna Kasha Achoso. Okay, fine. So maybe according to Rabbah, the Mishnahs are going like Rabbi Nechunya ben Akarna. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akarna was of the position that as far as Rav Meir is concerned, you are able to receive malchus and mammon, even though it's for one act. So kasha achosa. But the difficulty, of course, is that the case of achosa would not work because if you remember, according to Rav Nechunya ben Akarna, so we are going to say kimle, even if it's not mises basin, even if it's kares. And the first Mishnah told us that Achoso, there would be a kenasa, but achoso is kares. And that means that according to Rav Nechunya ben Akarna, there should be no kenas in such a situation. Okay, so that's going to be problematic. And Ika Rabbi Yitzchak, now maybe the Mishnahs are going to be going like Rabbi Yitzchak. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak, where did he come from? So from our perspective, Rabbi Yitzchak comes out of left field, meaning we didn't see Rabbi Yitzchak in the entire sugya. So, right, I told you that if you really want to appreciate this little piece of Gemara that we're doing together right now, so really what you would have to do is a chazara, just a review of the last week of Gemara. But Rav Yitzchak wasn't mentioned because Rav Yitzchak is in the Gemara Makos. Now, Rav Yitzchak is of the position that anything that has kares, there's not going to be Makos. Meaning kares and Makos, according to Rav Yitzchak, are mutually exclusive. Once the onus of kares is outlined in the Torah, so by definition, there's no Makos. So that means to say now that maybe the Mishnayos are going, in fact, like Rabbi Yitzchak, and once something is kares, so therefore there's no malchus, and therefore there could be mammon. So the Gemara says kasha mamzeres, but of course the difficulty with that is going to be mamzeres, because as we're going to be seeing together a mamzeres, this also is going to come up in the Mishnah. A mamzeres is something where, in other words, not the creation of a mamzeres, but having relations with a mamzeres, that's an isser lav, but that doesn't have kares with it. And so that's going to be an example where it's malchus, but it's no kares. So, hani chesavalek Rabbi Yochanan. Now, if, in fact, the Rabbah held like Rabbi Yochanan, so then that would work out. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan is of the position that you are going to exclude mammon only when you are warned against the malchus. So then, nehunami mataras like Rabbi Yochanan. So then, the resolution would be very simple. Meaning, we'd be talking about a case of Mamzeres, but there was no Hasra, and since there's no Hasra, there's no actual Malkus, and if there's no actual Malkus, it doesn't exclude money. But if in fact he holds like Reish Lakish, now remember, Reish Lakish is of the position that Malkus is going to pater you from Mammon, even if there was no Hasra against the Malkus. It's still going to pater you from Mammon. So if he holds like Reish Lakish, so then there really is no resolution of the Mishnayos. Ela al karchach, karev Yochanan Svirle. So the Gemara says, you're right. So it must be that Rabbah has to be holding like Rav Yochanan. Okay, so that part was extraordinarily tricky, as the Gemara basically shuffled through the entire deck to see how can Rabbah learn our Mishnayos, meaning under what circumstance would Rabbah set up our Mishnayos so that the Mishnayos would in fact coordinate, because again, according to Rabbah, a kenas can coexist with Malkus. Kenas can coexist with Misa. So what would be the example in which you're going to be learning our Mishnah? So when the Gemara is when all said and done, so Rabbah would in fact be subscribing to the Sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak. I know that part's tricky. Rabbah has to be subscribing to the Sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak that when there is Karis, by definition, there's no Malkus. What about the case of Mamzeris where there's no Karis and there is Malkus? So and Malkus and Mammon cannot coexist. The answer is that he's holding like Rav Yochanan. Malkus is only going to knock out Mammon only when there was Asra. But if there's no Asra, so then it's not going to knock out Mammon. Okay, Ad Kan, that almost takes us to the end. Amalei Rav Masna La Abaye L'Reish Lakish D'Amrei Befer Shrub Satorah. So Chayvei Malkus Ke Chayvei Misos. So now let's go to the Sheet of Reish Lakish, where Reish Lakish says that Malkus and Misa are the same. Just like Misa will knock out the Mammon with or without Hasra, same thing with Malkus. Malkus will knock out the Mammon with or without Hasra. So now, Man. So, if that's true, so Man Tana, the Palig Alea de Rav Nechunya ben Akana. So then, who's going to be arguing with Rav Nechunya ben Akana? Meaning to say that Karis is not going to exempt somebody from the Mammon. So, E Rabbi Meir, E Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Gemara says for Reish Lakish, so you either subscribe to the Sheet of Rav Meir or you'll subscribe to the Sheet of Rav Yitzchak. Meaning there is a place to learn like Reish Lakish, that for Malkus will not get money, whether there is or there isn't Asra, and either he'll just simply subscribe to the Sheet of Rav Meir, and that is that Rav Meir says that you can get both, meaning it's that it could be that simple. Alternatively, he holds like Rabbi Yitzchak, where according to Rabbi Yitzchak, once there's Karis, there's no Malkus. So in other words, one way or another, either he maintains like the Sheet of Rav Meir, or he maintains like the Sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak, Rav Meir will allow for both, or according to Rabbi Yitzchak, there isn't both, meaning there's only Karis and there's no Malkus. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end. So all the Gemara did at the end, which is not a small feat, is that once you take all the shitas and try to synthesize all the shitas, so it comes out that certain amoraim have to exist only within the camps of certain tanaim in order to coordinate all the mishnayos that we had together. Adkan, that takes us really to the end of the sugya, and we are now continuing. We are on Lamed Hamed Beis. We are at the two dots towards the bottom, 6 lines from the bottom of the Amud, Tanur Rabbanan. We are going to be learning a brisa regarding women who are not going to be receiving a kenas. Again, just a quick setup reminder. Okay, so kenas is the punitive fine that a person has to pay a woman when he is ma'aneser. Being ma'aneser is an iser, as we already discussed in the beginning of the parak. It goes without saying, but I'm saying it. In other words, it's chavala, it's assault. But in addition to now having to pay all the damages, the nezik of the chavala, but he also has to pay kenas. And as we discussed in the beginning of the parak, If he's able to, he'll marry her. And if she can, number one, he has to be able to marry her, meaning she can't be asur to him, asura to him. And in addition to that, also, she has to consent. And if in fact he marries her, he's not allowed to divorce her. These are the penalties imposed on the ma'anes. So when does he pay her kenas? So the Mishnah, the first Mishnah told us the occasions which he's going to pay her kenas. We're going to be learning a brisa right now, where the brisa is going to go over certain women who are not going to be receiving a kenas, as is the upcoming Mishnah, also is going to be discussing this as well. Now, why wouldn't a woman be receiving a kenas? So there are a couple of reasons why. Number one, the kenas is only for being ma'anis a besula. If you're ma'anis a be'ula, so there's not going to be a kenas. Again, just to make sure that we're all clear, meaning obviously it's still chavala. Obviously, for all the damages of the assault and the compensatory damages that you have to pay, It just happens to be that there's no knas for a ba'ula. Why? Because the Torah imposes a knas only when he is ma'anis a woman and he ruptures her basulin. So number one, she has to be a basula. Number two is that she has to be a nara. She has to be at the stage, developmental stage of nara. Is that going to be excluding katana? So if you remember, if you recall, going all the way back to the Mishnah, on chavtes machlokas tanaim. So it happens to be that shitas Rav Meir is that it's only for nara, not a katana. And the chachamim disagree. The chachamim say it's for a nara and a katana. But according to everybody, once she enters into the developmental stage of bulgaris, and remember, a bulgaris is a woman who, after having cleared 12 and a half years of age, meaning at 12 years of age, she turns from being a katana to a nara. At 12 to 12 and a half, she goes to the 6 month stage of what is halachic adolescence, and that's the stage of nara. And then at 12 and a half years of age, she's a bulgaris. A bulgaris is no longer going to be receiving a knas. Okay, and again, why? So the simplest explanation is because that's what the Torah says. Torah says that the knas is only for a nara besula, and not for a girl who's older than a nara. Okay. Again, a girl younger than a nara, meaning a girl during a katana, machlokas tanaim, which we already discussed earlier, but it happens to be that it's helpful to remember that right now for the upcoming Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Arayis v'shneilas arayis. Now, what we'll do now is that we're going to read the Braisa, and we're not going to give great definition to the Braisa, as so many statements in the Braisa are difficult, ambiguous, and the Gemara is going to go through each section of the Braisa and really clarify. So I'm just going to read the Braisa right now, and we're going to get much better clarification as we go through the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan arayis v'shneilas arayis ein lam knas. So both arayis and shneilas arayis, which normally means secondary arayis, so not going to be subject to, it's not going to be subject to knas. Velo pitui, nor for pitui as well. In other words, the knas that goes together with ones and with mefate. So the hamima enes, and let's say the girl is refusing her husband. So you go back to your days in Yavamas, and we recall that a girl who's married off either by her brother or by her mother, which is a kedushi de rabbanan, has the ability of mion, of refusing their husband. Such a girl is not going to be receiving knas. Meaning, if this girl was mimma enes in her husband, she's not going to receive a knas. Stay tuned, we're going to explain that a lot better. Ein la knas velo pitui. Islandis, what about a woman who's an islandis? That's a woman who never goes through any form of physical development. In other words, she gets older, but she does not physically develop. And it turns out that she simply lacks the equipment in order to be able to produce. And the description is for her is generally an islandess, as we discussed just a short number of days ago in the daf, coming from the word ayo, which means a ram, a male ram. And basically she's a woman, but without the ability to procreate. So ain la knas velo pitui, she doesn't have knas and pitui. Again, we're going to explain that much better in just a moment. Hayotz mishum shemra, ain la knas velo pitui. A woman who was accused by her husband to have had an affair, and during the stage of kiddushin, so she's not going to be receiving a knas. That also requires explanation as well. Like I said, every case in the braisa really requires an explanation. And here we begin. So we are now the last couple of lines of the Gemara on Lamed Hamed Beis, and we're going to go through each step of the braisa with necessary explanation. My arayos, my shneilas arayos, ilema arayos arayos, mama shneilas medivrei sofrim. As we're on the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Don't understand if arayus is what is understood traditionally as a woman who's an erva to you, and shneios is a woman who's a secondary erva. Go back to Yavamos, Daf Chaf Aleph, where the Gemara introduces us to the relatives who the Torah does not prohibit, but the Chachamim added on. The Gemara tells us that these Gzeiras de Rabbanan are ancient Gzeiras de Rabbanan, ancient meaning they go back to the time of Shlomo HaMelech. So, but they're an Issa de Rabbanan, it's not an Issa de Raisa. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. I don't understand, says the Gemara, that if we're understanding Shneios in the classic sense of women who are Asr mid de Rabbanan, so then because of Exerah de Rabbanan, that's going to exclude them from receiving a Knas, meaning the Torah imposes a Knas. It would be very difficult to imagine that because of a rabbinic decree, so we're going to waive the Knas and also take into consideration that min ha-Torah, you are allowed to marry her. So number one, the Isser is only an Isser de Rabbanan. Min ha-Torah, she is an Isha ha-Ru'u Yalo. And I'll add on also a point that the Gemara is going to make later on a different on a different case, but we can say the same thing over here, and that is that obviously the Ma'anis is a chote, he's a sinner, and generally speaking, we don't like to reward bad behavior. In fact, just the opposite, we like to punish bad behavior. So so over here, because of Gzeira Derabanan, we're going to waive the ability to punish bad behavior. The Gemara says that seems very unlikely. So Ella. So the Gemara says, so what we're going to have to do now is the following. We're going to go back to the Braisa, and we're going to have to give an unconventional pshat in the Braisa. It is, I know I'm being a little repetitive, it is unconventional, but it's the only way we're going to explain the Braisa. Ella Arayif Chavei Misas Beisdin, and Shnios Chavei Krisos. Okay, so when we say Arayos, we mean, and this is not the normal way that it's translated, but for the purpose of this Braisa, we have no choice. And that is, Arayos is those ervas that are subject to the death penalty, like one's daughter, as an example. And the Shnios are basically one grade less, one level lower, meaning still an erva min haTorah, but no death penalty. In other words, just Kares. So, Avachai Ve'lav, and Yesh LaKnas. And then the point of the Braisa is as follows. So basically what we're going to do is that we're going to grade Arayos in three different levels. So the grade A Arayos is where it's subject to Mises based. In grade B, it's where it's subject to just simple kares. And then the next grade below that, now the next grade below that is not really classically called Arayos, but still the point is that if it's an Isser Lav, so then such a woman would receive kanas money, Shimon HaTimnihi. And that is the sheet of Shimon HaTimani. Shimon HaTimani, as we learned all the way back on Chav Tes, that was a long time ago. Shimon HaTimani was of the position that a woman who is as long as there is Tfisas Kedushin, right? As long as Yesh Bahavaya, so then such a woman would in fact be eligible to kanas. Now again, our Mishnah doesn't subscribe to the position of Shimon HaTimani, but we're not right now on our Mishnah. We're looking at a Braisa. We're just simply saying a pshat in the Braisa. So within the Braisa, we could say that the author of the Braisa is Shimon HaTimani. Eged Amri, now in a slightly different version of the same discussion, Arayos Chavei Misas Beisdin v'Chavei Krisos. Here's what we could suggest, that Arayos is a reference to both Chavei Misas Beisdin and Krisos. And Shnios is Chavei Lavin. And Mani, Rabbi Shimon Ben Manasyehi. Oh, another way to say over the Braisa is that the Arayos are basically A and B, and the Shnios are C, meaning that it includes all women that are forbidden to you, both Chavei Misas Beisdin and Chavei Krisos and Chavei Lavin as well. And then who is the Mishnah going like? Rabbi Shimon Ben Manasseh. That was the other Rabbi Shimon all the way back on Chav Tes. That Rabbi Shimon's of the position that a woman who's going to be receiving a kanas is only an Isha Haru'uya Lakaima, where not only is there Tfisas Kedushin, but the Torah allows you to remain married to her. All these women the Torah does not allow you to remain married to, therefore, there's not going to be a kanas. Again, a reminder, our Mishnah on Chav Tes does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Ben Manasseh. But again, we're not talking about our Mishnah right now, we're talking about a Braisa. And all we're trying to do is just give a pshat in our Braisa. So we've offered now two pshatim in the Braisa. One is that it's going like Rabbi Shimon HaTemani, and the other one is going like Rabbi Shimon Ben Manasseh. We continue. Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, at the two dots towards the top of the Amud. Ha Mema'enes in Laknes V'lo Pitui. So Ha Ketana Ba'ama Isla. Now, what we're doing now is we're making a deek in the Braisa. The Braisa says a Mema'enes is not receiving a Knas. Now, here is an important discussion. Let's just give a quick preview, quick introduction. Okay, so in the rare case where a girl is being married off by either her brother or her mother, meaning her father is no longer there, either physically or halachically, so the Chachamim gave the ability to either her brother or her mother to marry her off, and that is the Kiddushei Derabanan. As such, when she turns from being a Ketana to a Nara, at that point in time, she has a right of refusal, otherwise known as Miyun. So, what the Braisa is telling me is that a Mema'enes does not receive Kenas, presumably for the reason of she was married. But what that would seem to indicate then is that if we took Miyun out of the equation, i.e. she's just a regular Ketana, so then she is entitled to Kenas. So money rabbanihi damer ketani yesh la knas em a seifa. So that means that the Bryce is following the sheet of the Chachamim, that a Ketan is in fact eligible for Knas. But then the Bryce confuses us. Why? Because the next case of the Bryce is Islandus ain't la Knas velo pitui. And Islandus is not going to receive a Knas. Now again, over here, here's what we all have to keep in mind. An Islandus. So is a woman who is incapable of having children. Now we don't know that when she's 8 or 9 years of age. What happens is the following, is that as she turns 12, that she goes through no physical maturation. No. Halachically, what is she at that point in time? So halachically, she still maintains and remains a status of being a katana. And when does that change? At 20 years of age. 20 years of age when she still is not showing any signs of physical maturation. So now what does she do? She goes from being a katana to being a bulgaris. Meaning an islandist by definition, by being an islandist, skips the stage of being a katana. Sorry, I was almost right. She skips the stage of being a nara. With that stated, so now the Braisa says that an islandist is not going to be receiving Knas. Ah, so presumably, the simple reading of the Braisa, simple understanding of the Braisa, islandist is not receiving Knas because she's never a Naira. Meaning from a halachic status standpoint, she's a Katana to becoming a Bulgaris. And she's never a Naira. Oh, so now we're confused. Meaning by the Mema'enes, she's not getting a Knas, but a Katana is going to receive a Knas. That's a Diuk. Then the Braisa talks about the islandess, and the islandess is not receiving a Knas. Why? Because she's only Katana, not Naira. But of course, that's problematic. So, also the Rav Meir, that takes us to the Sheet of Rav Meir, the Amar Katana and La Knas, the Hami Katnusai, also the Beggar. The Gemara just simply points out what we already did, and that is that she goes from being a Katana to Bulgaris. So, Reisha Rabbanu V'Sefer Rabbi Meir, difficulty now is that as we're tracking the Braisa, we are bouncing between the Sheet of Rav Meir and the Chachamim. The Braisa first says that a Ketana is going to receive a Knas. Now again, the Braisa doesn't say that explicitly, but the Diuk seems to be pretty clear, because the Braisa says that a Mema'enis is not receiving a Knas, which would indicate that a Stam Ketana would receive a Knas, and meanwhile, the Islandis is not receiving a Knas, because she goes from being a Ketana to a Bulgaris, and she skips Naira, and that means that the Braisa is holding that a Ketana does not receive a Knas. Okay, so ping-ponging between the two Shitas, the Gemara says, we're very unhappy. Meaning the Braisa, we much prefer a Braisa to stick with one Shita, rather than bounce between different Shitas. So maybe the entire Braisa is going like Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir says that a Nara and only a Nara to the exclusion of a Katana is receiving a Knas. Ah, but when it comes to Mema'enes, maybe Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Who's Rabbi Yehuda? So we saw this back in Yevamos, and we get to review. And that is the following. When can a girl do Mian? Married off by her brother or by her mother, and now has the ability to do Mian. When can she do Mian? So the Shita, as we're going to see in just a moment, of Rav Meir, is that she can only do Mian when she's a Katana, meaning once she becomes a Nara, she can no longer do Mian. Now it happens to be that the Shita Rav Yehuda is that she could do Mian even while she's a Nara. Let's see this together. When can a girl do Mian? Until what point can she do Mian? So according to Shita's Rav Meir, it's only when she brings her, only when she arrives at physical maturation, meaning she becomes 12 years of age. And Rav Yehuda Amar, Ashiyar B'Shchor Alalavan. And Rav Yehuda says, no, more physical maturation, meaning not just the beginning of physical maturation, but you need developed physical maturation. He gives a physical marker in terms of when this would be, but basically it means that when she turns 12, she still has the ability to do Mian, and it will continue into her stage of Nairus. Okay, so the Shitas Rav Yehuda over here, it does allow a girl to do Mian even while she's a Nara, but of course the problem is that in that very same Braisa we've just learned together, that according to Rav Meir, she can't do Mian when she becomes a Naira, meaning that the only time she could do Mian is when she's a Katana. So to say that the whole Braisa is going like Rabbi Meir, but he gives an extension in terms of when Mian can be done, and Mian can be done when she's a Naira, it's not true. It's simply not true. So Ella Rabbi Yehuda, he of a Katana, several like Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara is good. So here's what we'll do. We'll say that the Braisa is going like Rabbi Yehuda, and as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, Rabbi Yehuda holds it like Rabbi Meir, meaning that Rabbi Yehuda holds that only Katana can receive, let's say it correctly, only a Nara can receive Knas, What about the Mima Enes? So again, if the entire brisa is going like Rav Yehuda, we know that Min could be done while she's a Naira. Umi Sarvalav Vahamar Rav Yehuda Merav Zudiv Rebbe Meir V'imisa Zudiv Rav Yehuda Mibayle. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me that Rav Yehuda holds like Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, okay, go all the way back to the beginning of the Perek. All the way back. And at the beginning of the parak, after introducing us to the Mishnah, what was the Gemara's comment over there, if you remember, in Chav Tesamad Aleph? So the Gemara's comment over there is that the Mishnah is following like Rav Meir. Well, why don't, now, if in fact you're right, that Rav Yehuda agrees to Rav Meir, so have the Gemara say that our Mishnah is following like the Shita of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. So I tana sava like Rav Meir, Bechada Upalig, Allah Bechada. So the Gemara says, because our Mishnah is not going like Rav Yehuda on every issue. In other words, so to say that the Mishnah is Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, that's not totally true, because Rav Yehuda departs from Rav Meir on other issues, notably on the issue of Mian. Okay. Rafam Amar, so what just happened over here? So it was a bit of a complexity, but what comes out now is that when the Braisa says that a Mima Enes is not receiving a Kenas, it's because she was married. And she's no longer Basula. But in other words, as somebody who's not a Mima Enes, i.e. a Katana, is in fact going to receive a Kenas. The problem that the Gemara just ran up against the wall is that the very next line of the Braisa tells us that a Katana is not receiving a Kenas, i.e. in the form of an Islandess. So that is problematic. So basically what comes out now is that what we're saying is that the entire Braisa is going like Rav Yehuda. This is our first approach that we just finished. The entire Braisa is going like Rav Yehuda. It just happens to be that Rav Yehuda is of the position that Mian can be done while she's a Naira. So then the entire Braisa is going like Rav Yehuda, and as far as Kenas and eligibility for Kenas is concerned, Rav Yehuda holds like Rav Meir, only a Naira is going to be receiving a Kenas. Hopefully all that was clear. I admit that part was a little bit complicated. Rafram Amar Mai Mima Enes Haru'uya Lamayin V'lisne Ketana Kasha. Rafram says, may I offer a simple pshat. Mima Enes is not talking about a girl who went through the experience of Mian. It just simply means a girl whose developmental stage could result in Mian. In other words, a Katana. Mima Enes is just simply another way of saying Katana. So the Gemara says, okay, so I got a great idea. If the Braisa wanted to teach us that a Katana could do, is eligible for Kenas, why wouldn't the Braisa say the word Katana, which is much clearer, less ambiguous? The Gemara says Kashi. The Gemara says, you're right, that's difficult. Meaning, it is a funny way to describe a Katana as being a Mima Enes, someone who theoretically could have been eligible to do Mian. Okay. I only say in La Knas Velo Pitui, very minu. Okay, we go back to the Braisa, and now the next section of the Braisa tells us an Islandess is not subject to Kenas. Problem is, we have another Braisa. Hachi Reishas Vashot of Islandess Yeshla Kenas Yeshla Tainis Besulin. So, a Chereshes, that's a deaf mute, Shota, a woman who is mentally deranged, and Islandess, so is eligible for Kenas, and Tainis Besulin. So the Gemara says, "Vahai my Rumiya Reha Rebbe Meir Ha Rabbanu Dekarile My Karila." Gemara says, "That come on, the fact that the Braises are at odds with one another, we just learned together. We learned it in the beginning of the parak, and we reviewed it just moments earlier. And that is that whether or not a Katana is eligible for Kenas is a Machlokas Tanayim. The Chachamim say a Katana is eligible for Kenas. Rav Meir holds that a Katana is not eligible for Kenas." So you have a stira between Braises regarding an Islandess. And again, an Islandess is halachically a Katana until 20, where she becomes a Bogeris. Okay, so one Braisa says she gets a Kenas. That's following the Shita of the Chacham. And the Braisa says she doesn't get a Kenas. It's following the Shita of Rameir. And the Gemara says, and what are you making me crazy for? Meaning it was obviously the answer. So the Gemara says, Mishum Isra Lamir Ma'achrita Lave. The Gemara says, you're right. That didn't bother us. We already knew the answer to the stira between Islandess and Islandess. What really bothers us is the setup and specifically the case of Cheresh and Shota. So because we have another Braisa. Cheresh and Shota v'abagaris amukas eitz, ein la hen tainis besulim. So asuma v'islandess yeshlam tainis besulim. Simcha zomer mishum Rebbe Meir. Suma ein la tainis besulim. So in the Braisa, so three different categories. Category number one, Cheresh Shota v'Abagaris Mukas Eitz. So they all are not subject to Tanis Basula, meaning the husband cannot claim that he was expecting her to be a Basula. And the And as far as a blind woman and an islandess are concerned, so there is a times basula, meaning the husband can in fact claim he expected her to be a basula. And as far as the suma is concerned, subject to a machlokus between the chacham and Reb Meir. Fine. So, I'm Rav Sheshet Lokasha. So, what's the problem now? The problem now is that we have now a Chereshes and a Shota. So, in our Brisa, I say our Brisa, meaning the one that really led our daf today. In our Brisa, it says that a Chereshes and a Shota are, in fact, subject to Tanis Besulim and are entitled to Kenas. Meanwhile, the Brisa we just quoted, Chereshes and Shota, together with Bogeres, together with Mukaseit, are not subject to Tanis Besulim, meaning we're assuming, of course, that they don't have a Besulim. So the two Brises are at odds with one another regarding Chereshes and a Shota. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshet Lokasha, Harem Gamliel, HaRabbi Yoshua. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we'll line this up is going back to a machlokas that we discussed extensively in the first perek. And that is the basic debate between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua regarding claims and counterclaims, where they got married, she wasn't a basulim, and she makes a claim, and he makes a counterclaim. And what does Rabbi Gamliel say? We believe her. And what does Rabbi Yoshua say? We don't believe her. So, over here, if a woman's a chereshes or a shota, and she turns out not to be a basulim, so if we subscribe to Rabbi Gamliel, so we take her side and we follow her claim, and if we follow Rabbi Yoshua, we do not take her side and we do not subscribe to her claim. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Ema deshamasla Rabbi Gamliel hecha dekatana ihi hecha delo katana ihi mishamasla. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. In the first paragraph, we were talking about where she made a claim. Obviously, over here, we're talking about a chereshes. We're talking about a shota, a woman who is unable, physically unable, or mentally unable to make a claim. So the Gemara says, so here would Rabbi Gamliel, would Rabbi Gamliel say we believe her in the absence of a claim? The Gemara says simply in, yeah, we would. Because Kevin Damer Rabbi Gamliel, mehamne, kagonzu, psach picha, li'ilemu. So the Gemara says no. In other words, in a case where a woman in principle can make a claim, it just happens to be that either physically or mentally she's incapable of making said claim, so would we make the claim on our behalf? The answer is yes. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Mishlei that says that psach picha, that we're going to go ahead and provide claims for people who do not either have the mental or physical ability to make a claim, but such a claim would exist, so we'll make a claim on their behalf. In other words, we would advocate for them on a claim that they could have made. Okay, so on the stira in the braces, whether or not a chereshes or a shota is in fact going to have tainus basulim, and whether in fact we assume that she's a basulim, it depends whether we subscribe to Rabbi Gamliel or to the shita Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, habogeres ein la tainus basulim. Okay, now in the braces we just learned together, a bogeres forfeits her ability to claim that she was a basula, or let's say it a little bit better, a little bit clearer. Meaning when a man marries a bogeres, in our day and age, that would be every single woman, so over the age of 12 and a half years of age, so at that point in time, we assume that she's no longer a basula. Now, that's difficult. Why? So we already know why it's difficult. We saw it earlier in the Masechta, and we get to review again. And that is the Gemara Nida. Va'amar Rav bogeres nosan la laila rishon. So remember what we learned earlier in this Masechta, and that is the following. A man could be with a woman unless, of course, she's a Nida. In other words, a Nida means that she has menstrual blood that's coming, that's either flowing out of her or flowed out of her and she hasn't gone to the mikvah. Either way, the woman's a Nida, and having relations with that woman is an Issacharis. However, if it's Dam Bisulim, so that's not Dam Nida. In other words, it's more analogous to Dam Maka. Meaning what you did is you just simply ruptured the basulim, and the blood that's coming out is not going to make her usher to him. So under those circumstances, so now, question, can a man who just marries a woman for the first time, so can he be with her, and obviously with the expectation that she's going to bleed as a result of dam basulim, so can he continue to have relations with her? So if you recall, we broke it up to a katana, a nara, a bogeres, okay, machlokes, basil, beishamai. But for our purposes right now, we just need to focus on one point, and that is that vis-a-vis the bogeres, laila rishon. Man can have multiple bios with his wife, with his newlywed wife on Laila Rishon, there was bleeding after the first bia. Yeah, that's not besulin. So what do we just see together? So what we just learned together is that there is in fact dam besulin even for a bagaris, which runs contradictory to the brisa. The brisa just told us that we assume that a bagaris does not have any besulin whatsoever. So that's called a problem. As we are now in the top, lamed vav lamed beis. Idikatayin tanis damim hachanami hacha b'maiskin. Idikatayin tanis pesach besuach. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we'll say, that when it comes to bagaris, so there is still some dam besulin. The Gemara assumes that it does efface a little bit, it thins out a little bit, but there is going to be dam besulin. And if, in fact, the claim that he comes to court the next day is that I married a bulgaris and there was no dam besulin, that's a claim. And that's something where he'll bring in the sheet and they'll bring in physical evidence of the absence of blood, and that, in fact, is going to be a claim, and that has to be responded to. However, if the claim is Pesach Pesuach, so that under those circumstances, we don't regard that at all. Rashi writes on the top of the Amud, on the Amud base, Idikamar Baltavalamasasi Damvade Tainam Al Yasehi, Vahacha Diktani, and Latan's Besulim, Dikatan Vamar Pesach Pasuach Matsasi. If the claim is Pesach Pasuach, Vidamla Badakila im Nimsaba im Lav, Benar Vikatana Tainahi, Kedamim Berakama. So you go back to Daf Test, what do we learn? Is that a claim where he makes a claim that there was simply no resistance, so that is a claim that has to be taken seriously. However, when it comes to Bulgaris, no. And if you recall, the Gemara is back on Daf Test, so we asked a simple question. In other words, we're going to believe him? In other words, there's no ways to substantiate this claim. And so the Gemara says, yeah, but we generally speaking, we have an assumption that he just made a wedding. He just spent thousands and thousands of dollars to make a wedding. And what? Just to simply ruin everything with a claim that he makes? He wouldn't do that. However, but Misha Bagra Rashi writes, but when she becomes a bagaris, ein rach matzar ki b'psula, v'dom lo ki la pesach pasuach. So anatomically, Rashi writes that what the expectation is that there's not going to be any resistance when she becomes a bagaris. So when he comes to court the next day and he says, pesach pasuach matzasi, so what we're going to say to him is, that's called biology, that's called anatomy, meaning that's exactly what you should have expected. And we'll tell him to go home and live happily ever after with his newlywed wife. Good. So that's the so now we made shalom between the brises. Meaning, does a bulgaris have dam besulin? The answer is yes. Can he claim pesach pasuach? The answer is no. And it's really that simple. Simchas omer mishum rabbi meir sumayin latanis besulim. We are on lamed vav amud beis. We are three lines down at the two dots. My time is the simchas. So simchas says that a blind woman forfeits her ability to claim that she was a besula. So why? So suma in latan is besula, my time to simchus, mimnesha, nechbetas agabe karka. So the Gemara says, because what she'll do is she'll trip, she'll fall, and she'll break her besulam. So the Gemara says, kolonami chavote mechvate. Right? Is that specific to a blind woman? Every girl. So they're going to fall. And so why can't we assume that any girl is injury prone? So kula rose amaris le'iman, zuena rove inamar le'iman. So the Gemara says the difference is going to lie in the distinction between a girl who when she falls and has an injury, so she'll quickly run to her mother and say, "Here's what I saw." But with a blind person, with a blind girl, she just simply won't have that. She won't have that sensation. Meaning, she'll have the sensation of falling, but she won't realize that there was bleeding, and she won't bring it to her mother. Okay, so basically, everyone's injury prone, but the suma is simply not going to follow up with, "Here's what happened. Maybe I'm no longer besulim, etc., etc." Hayosus mishum shemra ein la lo knas velo pito. Hayosus mishum shemra baski lahi. We're almost done with the brisa, and now here's what needs clarification: a woman who was allegations by her new husband that she committed an act of znus during the year of kedushin. So, if in fact he's telling the truth, and there are witnesses that substantiate that, so the Gemara says that she's subject to skila. Okay, so Nara murasa. So committing znos, committing an act of adultery, so subject to skila. A typical married woman subject to who commits adultery is subject to chenek. But over here, for the nara murasa, the punishment is going to be skila. But regardless, the point, of course, is that what discussion are we having? Tainus besulim, yesh laknas, ein laknas, don't understand. Right now, she's looking at execution. So Amrav Sheshet Hachikam Ramishi Yatzala Shem Rabbi Aldusa. So, ein la lo knas velo pitoy. So the so Rav Sheshet now is going to say a different pshat altogether in the Braisa, and that is that Rachmanase, a girl, so she had a reputation of being promiscuous. And as a result of that, when in fact she gets married, so no longer is going to be entitled to Tainus Basilum, because we assume that she was with a man, and on top of that also is going to forfeit a knas, meaning in the event that such a woman is in fact the victim of Ones, so she's not going to get knas because we assume that she no longer has Basilum. Okay, and I know that it's harsh, but again, just a gentle reminder that we've gone over numerous times, it's still assault, there's still all the Nizke Chavala, it just simply means that she forfeits a knas. So Amra Papa Shmamina Haishtara Re'elo Magbinambe. No, so the Gemara says, okay. So, if we have a star, a note, an IOU, and it's bad. And when we say it's bad, meaning people are saying that the note is bad. It's a forgery. It's a forged document. So lo magbinambe. So what we're gonna we're not gonna do is that we're not gonna go ahead and collect it. Now we're making an analogy between a girl who has a poor reputation and a star that has a poor reputation. Gemara says, how exactly does this comparison work? Elam denafakalala deshtar dezaifa dekavasei hacha denafakala kala deznai. So v'hamer rava yasa la shem mezana beir in choshishin la. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Are we talking about rumors and allegations? So when it comes to rumors and allegations, so let's go back to the girl. So let's say rumors have been swirling that she's had premarital relations. So Rava teaches us, it's over here, and it's in the Gemara in Gittin as well, at the tail end of the Masechta. So Rava teaches us that rumors does not possible a woman. It will not give her a status. Right? And Rashi in Gittin writes, I looked up the Rashi earlier this morning, and Rashi in Gittin writes that even to Kahuna, meaning she can marry a Kohen, right? No concern that maybe she was with an Ove Kochavim or an Eve Kanani, meaning that rumors are not going to change her status. And then so if we're saying that people are saying that that she's promiscuous, that's not going to change her status. And so by the star, people saying that the star is forged, again, it's not going to change it. So the Gemara says, okay, Ella, da also betray va'amru lididu tavasina. So the Gemara says that what happened was is that witnesses came and they said the following. Now, as Rashi points out over here, we're not talking about where the witnesses said that they saw her have relations, because that's not rumors, that's called edus. What the witnesses are stepping forward and saying is that she propositioned us. So in other words, and this is said by two witnesses. So we don't know for sure that she was promiscuous, but now there is good reason to believe that she was, because two witnesses actually are attesting to the fact that she propositioned them. So the Gemara says, okay, so by the shtar, how is that? How does that not translate over to the shard? So the analogous case to the shard would be the following. Witnesses come and say, you know that guy over there? You know, the one who's holding the note holder? So he came over to us and he asked us to falsely sign on the document. So he at least attempted fraud with us. So we can assume now that the document that he's holding is a fraudulent document. So Bishlam Hasam Shrike Prutzim. So im Allah im huchzaku. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. I don't understand. When it comes to Arias, so obviously the Yetzirah for Arias is really strong. And so look, when the witnesses come and said that she propositioned us and we decline, okay, but there are gonna be other men out there who are not gonna be able to withstand temptation. And they're not gonna decline. And so therefore we can assume that she's in fact was Mizana with other men. But over here, when we're talking about a star, so who's gonna want to sign on a document? Meaning, we say no, everyone else is gonna say no as well. So hachinami kevin dekamehader as yufa emer zayfa zayfa kasaf. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the point is as follows: if a person's going around asking people to falsely sign on a document, so you're right. Let's assume that everyone's gonna say no. Okay, but clearly this person over here is interested in holding a fraudulent document. So what he'll end up doing is he'll sign it himself. So when the witnesses attest to the fact that he came to us, propositioned us to falsely sign a document, so what that is evidence to the fact is that he probably ended up forging the document himself. Okay, but and so it is an analogous case, and so therefore, when in the case of a woman where two witnesses come and said that she propositioned us, so at that point in time now, we'll assume that she's no longer Basula, and that will impact her regarding Knas. It will impact her regarding Tainas Besulim. And by analogy, we're going to say the same thing regarding Ishtar. If two witnesses come and said that he came over to us, soliciting us to falsely sign on a document, and we declined, even though we're going to assume everyone else is also going to decline as well, who's got a Yetzirah to forge a document? But even if we assume everyone else declined, but that certainly is going to be enough evidence to indicate that the document is in fact a forged document, he probably forged it himself. And therefore, it's an uncollectible document. I'm kind of going to stop over here. Tomorrow we're going to pick it up with the Mishnah, next Mishnah, Elu She'in Lahen Knas. Finally, now the second Mishnah of the Perek. Spent over a week, right? Nine days in total. Over a week on the first Mishnah, and Adkan, that takes us to the end of a really long and fundamental sugya regarding the ability to punish both with Knas, Mamon, and Malkus as well. And good. And we'll pause over here.